Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to take them and turn with me to that passage in Isaiah 35. Oh, I see I copied and pasted from last week's sermon, and I didn't change the scripture reference or the title. We're talking about the highway of holiness this morning. Copy and paste is a deadly thing. When I first got my computer, doing my first wedding, and, I thought, oh, copy and paste, this is pretty cool. Bride's 45 minutes late to her wedding, right? So everybody's a little bit tense. And I copied and pasted the vow, and I turned to the man and said, you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded husband, is how I copied and pasted the row. And then I didn't even catch it, right? I repeated it again. I didn't catch. Then everybody broke out laughing. So, yeah, so it took away the tension. Copy and paste. It's good sometimes. Anyways, that has nothing to do with my sermon today, but I was reminded of that. Well, this is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we're continuing our series on Unleashing Holy Freedom. And we have been talking about how God makes us holy. In biblical terms, holiness and flourishing are almost synonymous terms. Today I want to take you to the passage that was read in Isaiah 35. This passage is both poetry and prophecy. And when you see prophecy, especially prophecy in the Old Testament, there's usually an immediate fulfillment, and then there's a glimpse into what is coming, into the future. I believe this passage also speaks deeply into what God wants to do for those of us who are following Jesus. So imagine standing in the middle of a vast, cracked wasteland. The heat is shimmering off the sand, and every direction you look, it is brown earth. There's skeletal remains of what used to be. And you've been wandering around here for so long, you have forgotten what green looks like. And your soul feels just as dry as the ground beneath your feet. You find yourself asking, is this all there is? Where is God in the dust? If we were to take the time to go back one chapter and I read Isaiah chapter 34, we would see that Israel had been decimated. The Assyrians had laid waste to their land. Israel had in fact become a wasteland. And I'm sure that they were questioning, where is God in the dust? Where's God when things go sideways? Where's God in the middle of grief and pain? But it's not only the people of God who lived 2,500 years ago that asked this question. I know all kinds of people, maybe some of you, who are asking the same questions. Life feels like a desert. The joy's gone. Strength seems to elude you. Hope feels buried. You look around the world and it feels uncertain. Bombs are dropping in Iran, and it feels like the economy is about to implode here. In Canada, gas is up, food is up, happiness is down, stress is up, financial worry is way up. But it's not only the global issues that part your heart. We have our own stuff, whether it's grief or pain, or relational friction, whether it's the stuff that you wonder about and your mind does the hamster wheel thing in the middle of the night. The picture you see is of the Atacama Desert. It is a 1,600 kilometer long plateau in the middle of northern Chile. It's recognized as the driest non-polar place on Earth. There are some places in this desert where rain has never been recorded, but over all the desert, it averages about 15 millimeters of rain a year. The cold ocean currents combined with the Andes Mountains serve to block off most of the precipitation. With that picture of the wilderness in mind, come with me to Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It'll burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon, which is full of cedars and green trees, will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. With poetry and prophecy, Isaiah speaks these words of hope to his people and to us. I love the picture of the desert showing emotion. It's going to be glad and rejoice. It will shout with joy because what was dry and parched and brown will blossom burst into color like the crocuses of spring. They will show lush greenness like Lebanon. The desert shall see the glory and the splendor of God. Now, does this passage speak hope? Not only does this passage speak hope into the people of God 2,500 years ago, but it speaks hope to us. These words are a poetic picture of what God's people often pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The picture of the kingdom in full bloom. Every year, the Atacama Desert receives a little bit of rain. When that happens, something awesome appears. The desert that looked dead comes to life. The wilderness that looked brown often blooms in color. Some describe it as looking at a fairyland. Flowers break out into full bloom. Earth tone browns are replaced with vibrant colors. Beauty appears from the dust. Back to verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. If you've been in the spiritual wilderness, if you've ever wondered where God is in the dust, if you are a follower of Jesus and it's hard, God's word to you is, your soul's not dead. It's just dormant. And when his spirit rains down again, strength will return, joy will bloom, and life will flourish. I love this picture of the Atacama Desert because there was nothing new that was planted. The seeds were already there. All it needed was some rain. If you're a follower of Jesus, God's Spirit is already in you. You don't need something new. He just needs to awaken what was there all along. And whether you feel it or not, whether you can see it or not, God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life. As you walk into this next week, God goes ahead of you. When you arrive at your office or at the coffee shop or at your school or at your farm, God is there before you. He's there ahead of you. And if you find yourself in the wilderness, I want you to know this. that God is already there. So hear the word of the Lord to you. And I want you to hear this well. These are Paul's words to the Romans. These are God's word to you. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, having chosen you, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them, and you, glory. What shall we say about what such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his very own? No one. For God has given us right standing with himself. God has given you right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he's sitting in a place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us, you and me. For I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. For no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Followers of Jesus, child of God, sons and daughters of the kingdom, that is God's word to you. With that news that the desert is going to bloom in full, parched lands are going to blossom. Here's what Isaiah says, verse 3. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. And encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. So strengthen your hands. Hold on. When life is hard, hold on. If you're looking around the world and it makes your knees weak, hold on. Let me encourage you. When you look in the into the future and it generates fear, let me speak to you. I say to you, the word of God says to you, God himself says to you, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He'll destroy fear. He's coming to save you. When God shows up and when his spirit moves, this is what he says, verse 5. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool. The springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where the jackals once lived. I see inklings of this in our town and in our country. I see more and more people open to spiritual realities of life. There's some more and more people who are open to hearing about Jesus. Especially notice this about the younger generation, but not exclusively so. It looks to me like God is starting to open up the eyes of the spiritually blind and open up ears of the deaf to hear what he is saying so he can grant them life, real life, a life that is flourishing. But here's how you know that that movement of God is not just escapism from this world or just escapism from the worries and of a world around us. Verse 8. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the highway of holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will only be for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor will any other ferocious beast. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. See, while one normally wanders in a wilderness, but when the wilderness blooms and becomes lush, there is a highway that is going to go through that desert land, the highway of holiness. And here's the great thing about the highway. It allows you to move much farther are much faster to where you want to go. This highway also says it offers protection. The ferocious beasts of life will not be able to get you on this highway. This highway is for the redeemed of the Lord. There's protection on that highway of holiness. The poetry of describing our journey into the heart of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God where is where God's rule is honored, where his truth is loved, where it's the extent of his will that is followed. That's where the kingdom of God is. And the kingdom of God, you don't get into the heart of the kingdom without walking on the highway to holiness. I'm trying to describe the beauty behind the poetry of Isaiah. And trying to do that is trying to, like, describe a spring flower on a sunny day after a long winter. Words draw an inadequate picture. But if you could look out of the spiritual windshield of your life into the kingdom of God, then you would see a land that is full of goodness and joy. You would see a land that is full of peace and love, full of graciousness and righteousness. You would see a beauty that cannot be described, for it is found in the glory of God. In spite of all that's going on around us, if you could see the picture along this highway of holiness in your soul, it would be amazing. The full expression of the kingdom of God will be heaven, because heaven is heaven because God's rule is honored there. But when Jesus was on earth, he also said this: the kingdom of heaven is within you. Dream with me for a moment of what your soul would look like if the rain came and it was covered by the spiritual flowers and the fruit of heaven. If the water of life gushed up, and dream with me what it will look like for your soul to become fully alive. That's what happens when God comes. So what do we do with this picture? Well, let me lay a verse from Hebrews on your mind. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You know, in my immaturity, I used to understand this verse as work harder to make yourself holy because you won't make it to heaven unless you do. But that's not the gospel. The writer of Hebrews writes this verse in the present tense. He writes it for us in the present. If you want to see God, be holy. If you want to see God in the present, be holy. Like Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see God. When you take holiness seriously, God shows up. See, God's already at work in you and around you. But when you start to take holiness seriously, you start to see God. God, who has gone unnoticed before, starts to show up in the middle of your conversation with a coffee with a friend, or in your interaction with a coworker, or in your random encounters with a stranger. When you take holiness seriously, you start to see the wilderness for what it is. It's a place for God to work. See, God doesn't need to create something new in you. He needs to awaken what's already there in you. It's been there all along. When you became a Christian, God placed his spirit inside you. And so when you step onto this highway of holiness, not only is there this special protection and a faster movement towards the heart of the kingdom, but you start to see, really see, the work of God that is going on around you. And it's amazing when you start to see it and you get on board with it, what can happen. Last verse in the chapter. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's God's promise to you. In the 1960s, archaeologists in Israel discovered a small jar with an angel date palm seed during their excavation of a Masada. For 2,000 years, those seeds had sat in this dry, sealed, dusty jar. They were surrounded by the dust of history. In 2005, researchers decided to plant one of those seeds. They didn't create a new seed. They simply provided the right environment for that seed. The rain of clean water. And to the world's amazement, a sprout pushed through the dirt. Today, that tree is nicknamed Methuselah. It's over 10 feet tall, and it is producing fruit. Friends, some of you may feel like you've been sitting in a dry and dusty jar. You might feel dormant, thinking, where's God in the dust? Is joy gone forever? But the seeds of the kingdom are already in you if you are a follower of Jesus, because his spirit's in you. You don't need a new life. You need the rain of his presence to awaken the highway of holiness that has been waiting under the surface all along. We're living in a world that feels like it's in the middle of a drought. Gas prices are up, stress is up, happiness is down, but as we walk on the highway of holiness, we aren't just waiting for the future heaven. We're invited into the place where God's presence reigns on this earth. And when you choose to move into holiness, you're letting the kingdom of God bloom in your cubicle, your school, your living room, your work. You're showing the world that sorrow and sighing don't have to have the final word. The king is coming, and he makes all things new. So how do you move on to that highway of holiness? Well, In some ways, it's quite simple. In other ways, it's quite challenging. The way to move on to the highway of holiness is simply to listen to God and do what he says. God wants to speak to you. But it takes time and it takes quietness in your heart to have a place where God can actually do that. If you take time and you actually say to the Lord, Lord, what would you like to say to me about me? And if you hear a condemning voice, then that's not going to be God. God convicts. He never condemns. He's actually probably going to affirm something that he sees in you. And then if you ask him the question of God, what would you like to do in my life that we can cooperate on together? He's going to show you. He might whisper it in your spirit. He might show you as you open up his word. He might bring a line from a song or something else, but he'll speak and you'll know it's him. And you hear from God, yeah, this is what I want to work on with you. And here's how to do it, and you do what he says. As you do that, you step onto this highway of holiness. And it has this way of moving you quickly into the heart of the kingdom of God. Make space in your life to hear from God. Because the seeds are already planted in you. And God says to you, I want you to bloom. Let's pray. So, Lord, today we give thanks. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this poetry of Isaiah. Thank you for the reality of our lives that you take the wilderness places and you make them bloom. Lord, you take the hard places of life and you speak life into them and into us. Your word declares that you are coming. We would pray so, even so, Lord, come quickly. Open up our eyes to see you and what you're doing around us. And speak to us, Lord, and help us do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.